As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places. Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our tradition keeps us open to revelation from many sources. Today's wisdom comes from Chaos and Grace by Mark Galley, a former Presbyterian minister and the managing editor of Christianity Today. We regularly complain about our busy lives, but then we set up systems that ensure that we will live no other way. Our spiritual lives are integrated with the rest of our lives in a seemly pattern of efficiency. Morning prayer becomes a fixed routine that takes no more than 10 minutes. We always look for the fastest way to drive from here to there, leaving here with just enough time to get there. And so we never really have time to pull over and help a stranded motorist because, well, we're running late. Foods become mere delivery systems of nutrients rather than gifts that help us bask in God's goodness. We spend more time looking at the nutrient chart on the label than thinking about the joy that the food might bring us. We want relationships, except when the friend becomes needy, at which point we give them a lecture about codependency. Worship is very important to us, at least for 60 minutes. But then, doesn't the pastor understand we have things to do? And on it goes. We say we long for intimacy with God and others, and yet we structure our lives so this becomes impossible. One might think we are avoiding intimacy, that maybe we really like our finely managed lives the way they are. Well, I can speak for one person and acknowledge that this is true for me more often than I care to admit. This makes for a life in which we get a lot done, in which we move up in the world, in which we get the most out of life. It is efficient and effective, managerial and businesslike. People who organize themselves in this way have high status in our culture, and many write books and lead seminars telling other people how to emulate them. There is a certain satisfaction in managing one's day and one's life like this, a satisfying feeling of accomplishment at meeting goals and objectives. No question that the Spirit can make use of such people, despite their deafness to the Spirit's leading much of the time. But how much richer, even if less efficient, would our lives be if we were willing to be carried away by the Spirit once in a while?
I might as well have written those words by Mark Galley. I feel like he was speaking directly to me about the way I structure life. I have a meditation timer on my phone that, depending on how tired I am, gets set for anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes each morning. That is the little bit of time I set aside for my spiritual sustenance between sleep and beginning my morning routine. It's almost never enough. But I tell myself I don't have time in my busy day for more than that. With a full-time job, raising a child, and continuously checking off items on my to-do list. At night, after Ella goes to bed, all I have energy for is some TV before I fall asleep myself. I'm sure many of you have your own versions of this. Not only do I not have time for the stranded motorist, I don't have time for the individual on the street asking for money. Sometimes I barely have time to hold the door open behind me for someone else, because I'm already 10 minutes late for work, as if a few more will matter. For the last year and a half, I have been on a highly specialized diet to help me get an autoimmune disorder under control. This necessary but difficult adjustment has shifted my focus to myself and how foods affect me, but has also shifted my focus away from the pleasurable communal aspects of eating. I have indeed forgotten to appreciate the gift of food in the midst of the focus on nutrition. I do get a lot done. No one would accuse me of being lazy or shirking my responsibilities. However, in the cracks of that efficiency is where the sustenance of my life is found, is where God is found. Galley goes on to talk about the chaotic work of the Spirit throughout Chaos and Grace. When I picked up his book, I was drawn to how Galley described the work of the Holy Spirit. According to his analysis, this is the aspect of God that is forever throwing kinks into our well-laid plans, and in so doing, renewing our focus outward and refocusing our attention from ourselves to God. We spend so much time in our little inner worlds. We want what we want, and we want others to understand us, and we can get so mired in it. And we think we've got it figured out. We choose a path that seems right to us, that makes us feel like we are contributing something valuable. But the little and big disruptions the Holy Spirit throws at us force us to look around and reevaluate. I have found the Spirit hard at work disrupting the efficiency and orderliness in my own life. This chaos shows up through forms and forces, big and small, trying to get through to me in my relationships, my calling, and encounters within my spiritual communities. First, my family relationships. The humans I share my life with are chaotic, untidy, and do not act according to my will. That is a good thing, because though I joke that everyone should listen to me because I know best, the truth is those closest to me know that is nonsense. I am fortunate that they remind me of it from time to time. For example, my partner is an amazing human being. Before I get too gushy, let me be honest. He drives me insane most of the time. He won't bend to my will. He won't see the sense in my wholly common sense way of being. He does things on his own timeline. I hate it. Truly, I do. But I also admire it. And I recognize I need it. I need a little pushback to keep me from becoming too arrogant about my viewpoint being correct. The Spirit works through him to show me that the love of God takes many forms. What my partner also does, better than I do often, is love me, all of me, the good and the bad without fail. He also takes really good care of my daughter. We met when I was 3 months pregnant, and he committed to our relationship without second guessing from that time to this. My partner has helped me raise her as if she is his own, and I see the way he cherishes her and loves her as he does his own son. Another example is the little cherub, Ella. She's also a whirlwind of chaos. She is a joy, no doubt, but she also has her mama's temper and independent streak, which is becoming even more pronounced at the age of 5. She can drive me nuts with her will. She's messy, too. She hates picking up after herself and throws herself down on the ground dramatically whenever I try to get her to. But she shows me love beyond measure, even when I don't deserve it. When I've been struggling and having a hard day and yelled at her too much, she has this way of snuggling up to me and saying, "I'm sorry you're having a hard day, Mommy." This is grace. How can I retain my anger and irritation when faced with this kind of compassion? There's also Axel, my partner's son. He, like his father, very much has ideas of his own about how he wants to spend his time. Tidying up is not on the top of his to-do list. Out of the three of them, though, he's honestly the least defiant. He's a sweet kid, a good and loving brother who puts up with all the sass Ella can throw at him. Much like his father, he took me on in his life at the age of 4 as just a matter of course. He has never made me feel as if I don't belong in his life, and he shows me more love than I think I am worthy of most of the time. Despite all of this love, the chaos these three wonderful human beings bring into my life often causes me to fall short of being the perfect, loving human I'd like to be for them. I can be pretty short-tempered, especially when confronted with mess and inconvenience. I want to have a neat, orderly existence. My brain works better when everything is in place. But I have a feeling the Spirit is telling me to step back and look at the grace that has been bestowed upon me. The love that is given to me, whether I deserve it or not. This is the love of God. Sacrificing a little neatness in favor of accepting the messy love that is being presented to me are what my heart and soul need. The Spirit is leading me down a path with an unknown destination in terms of my vocation as well. This is the worst of it. Even getting up here to lead service represents me succumbing to all the workings of the Spirit and trusting that God is going to help me say something valuable to you all, even if it felt frustrating and difficult to capture what I was trying to say in a coherent message. In discussing how God gets work done in the world, Galley seems uncomfortable with the Spirit's methods as well. He writes, "I would like to think that the Spirit works mainly through people professionally and spiritually qualified, people of discernment, wise in the ways of both the world and the Spirit. But this is precisely what the Spirit does not seem to do, or to do so consistently. I've concluded that God often does not care if we guess God's will correctly. If this was a high priority, the Spirit would be a lot clearer about making God's will plain. A higher priority seems to be this: humble and contrite hearts that are willing to risk, to step into the unknown just because it might be God's will. God honors the heart as much as the execution." I know I've been throwing around a lot of God language today, and trusting in God's will even, and that isn't comfortable for all Unitarians. I get that. But I struggled a lot with leading service and speaking about the work of the Spirit in a way that felt authentic, felt true to me. I feared sounding foolish, and maybe to some of you I do. But I have to risk sounding foolish, and sometimes looking foolish, to be honest about the work that I am seeing done in myself and in the world around me and how I make sense of that. This is all a part of the process. I am giving up my image of myself, my image of being neat and tidy and put together, and my image as a person who knows the answers. I don't. I struggle through it every day. But I don't feel I can abandon the spiritual path, even though it causes me great discomfort. I've been called to it, and I have to keep moving down it. The alternative is to return to my tidy existence, where I may have looked better and been able to hold potentially foolish ideas in check, but where I often felt hollow and incomplete. It seems that the spirit is asking for my pride in exchange for a richer life. I don't get to make the rules. Only witness the work being done. And sometimes that may mean I sound or look a bit foolish. At least I know I'm in good company. In the past few years, I've had the opportunity to engage with a lot of different folks through my work and my spiritual communities, who have gone down some dubious paths because the spirit has moved them. These paths did not promise wealth or notoriety, but their spiritual value has been borne out over time. The Mum Just Bakery program that you are all familiar with due to their periodic sales in the foyer was a seemingly foolish venture to begin with. I saw firsthand the ups and downs the program took. It started with classroom space in the church I work at and kitchen space at the feed kitchen on Sherman. Some of the 8-week classes only graduated a couple students, but they continuously learned and they refined and they were willing to take some risks and make some mistakes. Now, they have their own classroom space and kitchen off of East Wash, and they hold several large contracts, including providing all the cookies to UW Hospital. And graduates from their program now earn credit through MATC. They even achieved their goal of being a self-sustaining program. The Spirit led them, and they responded and struggled through this lack of assurance to get there. It seems to me that as I've been listening to the stories about Reeb's beginnings, which I have thoroughly enjoyed being a relative newcomer, perhaps some of you went down a kind of foolish path when the Spirit spoke to you. Going off and starting a new congregation with a handful of people and little money. Making financial commitments that you weren't entirely sure you'd be able to fulfill along the way. I'm not saying there wasn't wisdom attached to those decisions, but at some point you had to have some faith and take a leap in the direction the Spirit was leading you. And look at us, 25 years later. I'm glad some of you were willing to be led by the Spirit without assurances. You are teaching me to be braver with your actions. So I invite you to continue in your foolishness when the Spirit speaks to you. It can be scary to set aside our pride, our will, and allow ourselves to have faith and to be led. But I'm slowly discovering it's worth the discomfort. Turn off the timer and allow the Spirit all the time necessary to move you. Loosen your grip a little and let the chaos in. If you are able to allow the discomfort that can bring, I am confident that you will experience the grace that follows in its wake. Amen, and may it be so.